Vancouver producer.
Oh, I'm back.
I know, it's been a hot minute again.
It has.
Oh my gosh, we haven't podcast since January.
I know, I felt a little rusty until we had our warm-up.
Yeah, we did our vocal warm-ups, mm-hmm. you can say, you know.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, didn't sound quite that good, you know. Anyways, welcome to the Drew Han Show. We're happy to be here. Yeah. It's a very special episode. I'm super excited. We're coming to you just a week before Mile. Actually, it's Mile Week that this episode's going to debut.
Ooh.
And I have a very special artist interview coming up.
Oh, yeah?
I'll get into that in just a little bit. But let's just catch up, Cooper. Let's just chit-chat.
Oh, we're catching up.
You know,
catching
let's just
up.
Quickly. We don't have a
I
lot
never
of time.
See you anymore. You
know? I know we don't. You know, we have separate studios.
You do.
We do. You know, you betrayed me and you work on another podcast,
oh,
too.
Oh,
so.
Well,
I know. that two-timer.
They're not broadcasted. Don't Google me.
Yeah, don't. It's a work in progress. It's in production. But seriously, how's your summer going?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, you started the summer in the city trend, and I feel like, you know, because you're my event planner, I followed. And I've been making my own plans.
Isn't it great?
It is great. We're on our own clock.
Yep, it's been great. You know, everything we do has to be typically right here in the valley, and it just kind of helps slow your summer down a little bit and relaxes you, you know, draws a little peace. And so I've certainly been enjoying our hashtag summer in the city. So,
me too.
Yeah.
And like the music scene isn't like full blast, you know, so like you can pick and choose your events because there are quite a few, but there's not like something every day, every weekend.
Right, right.
You don't feel like you're missing out by doing something else with your life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to dart around the country, the state, whatever it may be. So it's been a pleasure. I like it. You know, it's still a little bit of more summer yet. So I'm looking forward to what's to come, although things are going to get very crazy.
Yeah.
Coming up with Mile of Music. So we'll be right back into that usual format very soon.
Here it comes.
Yeah,
ready boom, boom, or not.
Boom. Hey, on a current events topic, though, I did ask you this off mic, and you kind of looked at me very puzzled. But let's continue the conversation.
Note to all that I've only watched Netflix and Hulu and Paramount or something for the last, like, 6 months.
Okay. So she's not caught up on this current event of the space race. The current space race. So
no
these
idea.
Rich, I'm just going to say it, these rich bitches, these rich white men, have built their personal private space, what do you call it?
Vehicles.
You know, what do they call those? Shuttles.
Oh, yeah.
To space, you know? And the goal was to have the first private, you know, space flight. You know, so like, I think three people, or at least two billionaires, you know, did this really rapidly right next to each other. So Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and then I think maybe the Virgin Mobile guy, I don't know, some other rich guy, you know, beat him, I think, up to space. But there were two space flights.
Really?
Yeah. They went up to space.
And they had like teams on these shuttles? Or
I think
there
was like you could buy a ticket onto the shuttle, and it was like probably about five people on the shuttles, you know, very small, but still.
And then you come back right away?
Yeah, you just come right back right away. That's what I wanted to get into.
Okay.
This is so bizarre. So this made headlines only because it's, of course, it is kind of ridiculous, but the one spaceship looked like a very phallic part of a male person. You know what I mean?
Like an organ?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it shot up into space.
I can only think of one organ that shoots up.
Well, it was built by men, I'm sure. And while there seems to be a feasible reason it was built like that for the reason of what they were trying to
aerodynamics,
do.
Aerodynamics, maybe?
Yeah, uh-huh. I guess.
We'll say.
You know, why wouldn't this thing be aerodynamic in all senses of the form, you know?
Except for the curved ones.
The which ones?
The curved.
Oh, curved. I thought you said the carpeted ones. Those two. Okay, seriously, though. So, the point of me bringing this up is for a good chuckle, but your reaction is exactly what I've been thinking about. Like, everyone's been, like, fixated on this space race, and while it's somewhat fascinating, I'm kind of perplexed by this concept, because would you ever get on a plane, Cooper, and just fly halfway to Hawaii, and then this they're like, that's all the farther we're taking you, then we're going to circle back to Minneapolis, and you land.
No.
Why would you do that?
No.
So all this
because you're just going into air and then coming
and
back.
And then coming back down. So they might have a moment to feel anti-gravity, you know, which could be kind of neat, but, I mean, that would be neat, but certainly it doesn't seem like this huge accomplishment of men,
right,
to be going up into air and then just to turn around. You're not, if you fly to Mars, I'll clap for you. You know, when you right. finally have a destination you can get to from Earth, that's a space flight.
Or like have an overnight destination.
Why not pit stop on the moon for the love of Pete? You know, there's got to be a Holiday Inn up there by now. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm partial to the micro hotel.
Seems more feasible for the moon.
So, like, do they say, okay, we're going to this area, we're going to see, you know, up here these planets, these whatever, like, is there any kind of point to it other than we made it and now we're going back?
No point.
Are they up there for an hour?
I would say maybe an hour.
That's it?
Yeah. I don't think it was very long. And it's not like it, I don't think it was even an overnight thing, you know? They just
went. Because, like, when you go to, I mean, I'm only speaking from movies here. I have not been to the moon.
You haven't?
I know.
I thought you were going to rate that microtel for us. But go on.
But, like, you know, you'd want to have something to focus on. Like, you know, we're going to go to the space to see the, you know, have an event planned to, like,
right.
see this, you know, for an amount of time. Oh, and then where I was really going with that, lost my thought. Like, you have to adjust to the anti-gravity, and you have to adjust to, like,
right.
the different atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And, like, people get sick. I mean, this is just movies. No, I'm telling you.
Sure.
But, like, right. you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, to do that for an hour, is that so they don't have to adjust to all that? Or they don't have to have
maybe.
Such...
Maybe. And I don't know the exact
the
time frame.
The same gear, you know, maybe?
Of, like, how... It could have been an hour. It could have been right. 3 hours. I'm not really sure on the time frame on
right,
that.
Right, right.
Ultimately, I think there is ways to get the simulation of anti-gravity on Earth.
Yeah.
So, really, to spend billions of dollars to go experience it in
well,
air.
And, like, it seems a bit dangerous to me, you know?
It
like,
seems pointless to me.
Mm-hmm. You know? Maybe they need to stimulate the astronaut economy.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that sounds deep. Maybe we don't have enough people interested in astronauting. You know me, I never know the real words.
So I astronauting?
Astronauting.
Yeah,
sounds
I
like,
mean...
You know.
This is a way to... Astronaut, if you've never astronauted.
You gotta get the future into it, right?
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, we'll never make it to Mars, I guess.
I guess.
Well, there we go. We solved that problem.
Yeah.
You know, a little more... A little depth and sense to that makes a little bit more sense to me now. I'll give those rich bitches that, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good for you. Pat on the back, stroke of the shuttle. Okay, okay, enough chit-chat. We've caught up now. We've talked to Kurt.
We've caught up now. We've talked about rich bitches on shuttles, and we've caught up.
That's all we need to know. You know? We're good. I think that speaks to every level of our life. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Things we can't do.
Yeah, right. That's it. That's it. Yeah, we can do everything else but that. So.
Yeah.
So that's our one flaw here on the Drew Hahn Show. But our one perk is this podcast and the ability to interview artists.
Oh, yes.
Very excited to share with everyone my interview with Salmon Run.
Oh, I bet that was super interesting.
It was so interesting. Those guys are so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like... And I want to say all the words. I mean, they're smart, they're funny, they're educated, they have great music, you know, they have great depth in everything that they do. They're challenging, they're intimidating because they're so smart. I felt so stupid next to them, really. I mean, they just, like I said, they just have such a know of things, you know, and I'm not as quick-witted or I can't pull... experiences or thoughts together just as quickly as they can, and so I think they're amazing, and I think it speaks in their music, which
I'm glad I didn't have to interview them.
Feature it in the podcast. The interview went pretty good,
I think.
This is just overall knowing them as well,
you know, and
getting to hang out with them. You've met them a couple times now, and you've seen them once or twice, I believe.
Yeah.
I wanted to just kind of preface. Prologue? What's the beginning part?
Preface.
Preface. But in a book form, is that the prologue or is that the epilogue? I think it's the prologue, right?
The prologue, yeah. I want to say.
The real intro here.
Ask the smart musician.
Right. Where are they? I'm busy worried about astronauting, okay? I met these guys, though, a year ago, what would have been Mile of Music last year, in the year of COVID.
Oh, and so they were what you saw during the last year's maybe Mile.
Yeah, we called it Makeshift Mile, and me, Tammy, and Aaron, you know, went around looking for music, and we found Salmon Run, and we have just been a part of their music since then. Every time I get to see Salmon Run in the Valley, I try to go see it. They are one of two duos that, you know, I make sure I'm on top of to see in the Valley. It doesn't matter how many times I see them, I never get sick of them. I just love their music. I love their sound, and I want to see them every time. Yeah, so these guys are one of them, and I can't wait for you guys to hear a little bit of their music, which I'll feature next. And on the other side of the song will be the boys joining me. So stay tuned.
Yay.
Young man on the wrong side of death tonight. 10 steps till it's gonna be late. Young man waiting in the sinner's line. Don't know where it starts or it ends. Old man playing ghost in the moonlight. 3 kids asleep at the rain. Lights up his torch at the count of 5. He rips some saws with his hand. Oh, Lazarus, oh, no, Lazarus. Maybe you were best in the ground. Took form like a beautiful sunrise. Spread west at 10 cents a pound. Oh, Lazarus, oh, no, Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, oh, no, Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, oh, no, Lazarus. Oh, Lazarus, oh, no, Lazarus.
Guys, thanks for joining me here on the Drew Hahn Show. I'm here with members of a newer band in the Fox Valley area, Isaiah and Ryan. Guys, why don't you introduce yourself, your band, and what you guys do in the band?
Awesome. Well, thanks again for having us. It's exciting to be in the lair of the Drew Hahn podcast.
Thank you.
Ryan Mandola, I play guitar in the band.
I'd also like to say thanks. And my name's Isaiah.
It was more of a royal thank you. You didn't need to do it. Now it's a little bit redundant.
No, it just feels like we're... what's that big word you always use? Gratuitous?
I don't think that's the one.
No. Is that even the word?
Gratuitous is like giving a tip, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
All right. Good deal. All right. What do you guys each do in the band as far as performing?
I dance. I'm a singer and song dance guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Isaiah's more of a showman. I just like to put my head down to the floor and play guitar as well as I can. But we both kind of share the songwriting part of it as well.
Good deal. And we'll kind of get into that a little later in the podcast. I want to start where it all starts, and that's the almighty band name. Now, I tried to find a better way to finesse this question, so I came up with this. Tell me what you think. Where in the river of life does the name Salmon Run swim upstream from?
Oh, wow. Somewhere between anxiety and euphoria.
How did you guys come up with that name, though?
I think it was... just kind of throwing a bunch of names on a wall like spaghetti strands and then seeing which one stuck. A lot of them were really ridiculous and out there. I think one of the names was Wounded Donkey. That one didn't really resonate. We had a couple of different band names that sometimes you just get a feeling for it. It's like, that's it right there.
Sure.
You know, so that was the one that really popped out.
Cool.
And I think with our genre, we're trying to be a little bit more folk, a little bit indie. So Salmon Run kind of, it felt like it bridged the gap a little bit in describing both of those genres.
Yeah, that's definitely one side of the story.
What's your side?
I was sick of fighting about it. God damn it.
Oh.
So you just, by default, let's just do away with this.
Yeah.
I don't care. Let's be the band, version two.
Some unspoken riff here. Huh?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
That's funny, too, though, because we were really good friends coming into this, but we've definitely, you know, you hear about over time, any kind of creative partnership, there's always people falling out. There's a lot of angst with The Who, with Pete Townshend and Roger Daltrey, that, you know, I think they got into fisticuffs in the middle of a studio one time. I think Lennon and McCartney hated each other for a while. And you think it's never going to happen to you. Not that I'm comparing us to the Beatles, just to clarify. But we've had times where we've been not at each other's throats, but very angry because we had, you know, creative differences and it was hard to reconcile. So
really?
An interesting dynamic to explore.
Well, I'm glad you guys can, you know, come back together. And
well, we're sitting at least 6 feet apart here. So
that's a good deal.
I don't want him breathing on me over here.
I don't want your sweat dripping on me.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The studio is a little hot.
No, it's not that. I sweat pretty much all the time. It's just a perpetual thing I have to deal with.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if I'm on stage. I could be in a meat cooler, and I'd still be sweating, and it's inexplicable most of the time.
Yeah, it's part of life. We all got our issues, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Sure. What's your issue, Isaiah?
When I do sweat, it smells like ammonia.
Ammonia?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So when you sweat, it smells like you're trying to chloroform yourself.
It smells like I need more carbohydrates.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, you better get on that.
Yep.
All right, let's continue with the music, though. you kind of touched on your genre, and I want to say a lot of times when I see your guys' band described, it's listed as neo-folk. You guys want to break down your sound a little bit more?
So I think the first genre Isaiah threw out there was Western psychedelic folk, which is really hard to unpack. And then we kind of translated it down to neo-folk. Ultimately, it's not true folk, but, you know, we try to kind of be a little bit between there and indie, where it's using some of the simpler chord progressions that you see in a lot of folk songs, but it's a little bit more experimental and hopefully a little bit more underground with some of the uniqueness in the songwriting and the riffs that we come up with. So that's kind of how I feel like we came to neo-folk, even though I don't know what the word neo means. It just sounded really sexy.
Yeah,
I think like a good marketing ploy.
It is that writer that said neo-folk, like, what's the role with that?
Oh, in a review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. It works. Yeah. It grabs my attention.
It's like using the word per se. You don't necessarily need to say it per se, but it makes you sound more intelligent.
Yeah.
There's a mystique that it adds.
Very cool. So how long have you guys known each other then?
Since about freshman year of high school, I think.
So altogether, so our listeners kind of gauge how long has that been then?
20 years.
Almost 20 years.
20 years, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was his backup linebacker on the football team, and I would try to find as many ways as I could not to have to go in during practice so I didn't have to do anything. And he'd be puking his guts out on the field, and I'd be just kind of sitting and taking a knee, shooting the shit with other people.
Yeah, there's actually one time I literally was puking in my face mask.
Oh.
And middle of the play. And then Ryan, I'm like, hey, man, like, give me a break here. He's like, oh, looking down, picking grass.
That's just a lot of initiative to expect out of me.
How good was the football team then?
We were good, but we could have done better.
That's 20 years ago. What
yeah.
you gonna do, right?
Yeah.
So starting to sound like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
So you guys have known each other for 20 years. What's your musical background, like even before coming together as like a band? How long have you been together as a band? And then were you performing prior to that together? And did you guys do stuff in high school for music?
Right. I think when we were in college, we were roommates in a house on Breeze Terrace, right across from Camp Randall Stadium. That's when we started playing together, but Isaiah was deathly afraid of singing in front of other people, I think for the risk of being made fun of, potentially. So he'd have to be pretty wasted coming home from the bars at 2 a.m. And then he'd come to my room, shut the door, lock it. He'd put a little cup string phone on the door to make sure no one was outside. And then he would very quietly sing. And then it was a gradual working up the courage from there.
Oh, wow. Why so scared?
Well, at the time I was committed to a vow of silence for 3 years. And there were some people that knew about the commitment that were in the building.
Is this for real? I don't really believe that.
You're doing a lot of talking out of your ass.
Yeah, right. I see how this interview is going to go. I'll look to Ryan for the serious, and then we'll go for Isaiah for the bullshit.
I'll debunk all the myths.
Yeah. So you, Isaiah, didn't have any musical background, though, prior to getting together?
No, not like, I mean, I took like a little bit of guitar lessons when I was a kid, you know, and then I like maybe like for a year, and then I played saxophone for a year. And then other than that, I would, you know, I would say my earliest influence in music would be like going to the Catholic Church. All right. And Michael Flatley.
Oh.
So like Riverdance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I know it sounds kind of funny, but I think it's kind of you're starting to hear some of those sounds that are in that.
Is this a serious response?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Just
as you get more confident with your guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little more rhythm, kind of with that Irish, you know, tap dance kind of stuff.
Okay. Ryan, did you do anything prior to college at all?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been playing guitar on and off since I was maybe 12. And I think when I started listening to Fleetwood Mac, so Lindsey Buckingham, that finger style kind of banjo guitar, M. Ward, guys like that, Jason Isbell, that's when I really started getting into it a lot more, and then starting to develop a strong interest in the songwriting aspect of it. But I was actually in a group with another guy before Isaiah in the same house, and we used to play some open mics around the area, just doing covers and whatnot. So I guess I had a little bit of experience before it, but not really too much.
Sure. So you guys didn't have a ton of musical experience before coming together and forming Salmon Run. So what made you guys decide, hey, let's form a band, let's create some music, and let's start singing publicly? How did you transition into that?
Well, I think it started on a Thanksgiving. I was living in Oregon at the time, and I flew home, and I was like, hey, I called up Mendola, like it was like Thanksgiving weekend or whatever, around midnight. I said, come on over, let's jam. He's like, yeah, sure. And then he came over, and by the time he got there, I passed out after the first song.
Oh.
And then after that, we just kept playing. Once I ended up moving back, I think, a few months later. But that was kind of like, it like kind of almost felt good to play.
All right.
You know? And so we're just like, hey, we should play, you know, for fun.
Sure.
Do you want me to keep telling the rest of the story?
It's up to you.
Well, and then we played, and we would do open mics. And then eventually we did one up in
Green Bay,
yeah, Keggers, and then we got booked. And then we're like, well, I guess we're going to be a band now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you got booked, you were doing open mic, like were you doing your own stuff, or are you doing cover stuff? Like how does that?
Yeah, we were doing some of our originals.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I think every step in the process, it just becomes a little bit more addictive. So it's really fun just playing around a campfire, jamming with your friends, and then once you go to an open mic, even though it's kind of a harrowing experience if you haven't done it and you have stage fright, it's addictive, and you want to keep chasing that feeling. So then you go to more of those, then once you get booked, that feels incredible. You know, there's a lot of peaks and valleys in the experience, but it's just continuing to chase that feeling, chase that emotion that you have when you're on stage kind of sharing music you wrote with others.
Very cool. Isaiah, you have a strong, amazing voice. Is it still challenging for you to perform to this day?
I don't feel nervous singing 99% of the time. You know, if there's maybe some notes some days, but just getting the guitar and the singing, because I'm still a little, like I'm still pretty new to that, it makes me nervous still. So just trying to not lose my shit.
Sure.
You know,
don't puke in your helmet, right?
Yeah. So.
Every day I think all day long, what the hell did I do wrong? myself being dumb, hide from the people that I've done. I can ask for help, it's plain to see, but I can't seem to let those demons free. They choose me up and makes me right as my mind gets seized by a bullet of
Before we go on, thanks for joining me in the studio. This is your first time here, studio in quotes. I hear there's a little bit of a story from you, Isaiah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You probably want the explanation of why I'm late.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I guess this is kind of misleading, but I almost went into the wrong building. Okay. Just right now, and it brought back a memory. Ryan used to live in this apartment. It was just filthy and nasty, but that's not really part of the story. But he used to live in this apartment, and one time I was going to break into it through his back door. And so I saw this bike ramp, or a bike rack.
Bike rack.
And I turned it into a ramp. And I used it as a ladder. I climbed up the balcony to get into his apartment. Except for I wasn't in his apartment.
Oh.
I was in the wrong one.
Yeah. There's no one home, though, right?
Yeah, no, from what I knew.
Yeah, but now you're admitting this on a publicly available podcast, and we're probably not past the statute of limitations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
Well, you didn't set a time frame on when that happened, right?
True.
Yeah.
True.
So I'll testify for the court.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you made it here. So that must have almost happened again for you, huh? Were you just going to walk into the wrong place?
I was about to.
Was the screen door open for that building too? Or?
If you would have said the thing about the kayak, uh-huh, I would have done it.
Oh, God.
But I'm like, oh, there's no kayak.
And they were doing a podcast too.
Yeah, right.
Well, there was somebody sitting on the couch, and I was like, oh, that's probably Drew.
Okay. All right, guys. Getting back to Salmon Run, the band. You guys came into the scene, as far as I can tell anyway, in my knowledge of you guys, just prior to COVID. As a newer band, did that seem to pose great challenge, or perhaps being so new, were you able to lean into COVID and its restrictions? And I'll say this, from my perspective, I see last year for you guys as a soft opening, and this year is kind of like your grand opening.
Yeah, no, I think we were able to definitely lean into it, because when we look back on how much our live sound, at least in our opinion, has improved, we were pretty raw when we started. There was just a lot of kinks to work out. There was a lot of things about the sound that we encountered, problems, things we had to troubleshoot. So being able to, as you say, do a soft opening, some of those outdoor venues when COVID was going on that, you know, maybe there was socially distanced, there weren't that many people there, it gave us a chance to ease into the scene and prepare ourselves for some of the bigger moments coming up, which has been really beneficial.
Very cool. Yeah. Isaiah, whittling through a year of COVID and all the gigs that you've done so far, what's an experience from all your adventures so far that stands out good and or bad?
I would say we had a gig up in New Auburn, and we decided to, we brought a camper with us, and we were going to camp, and we decided to go golfing earlier before the gig. And we got done, and I forgot that if we left the camper plugged into the truck, that it would drain the truck battery. So we had to get the truck jumped. But then once we got the truck jumped, didn't realize that it was going to like reset the computer system. So then it just automatically locked the car keys inside the truck. So then we had to figure out how to unlock the truck, but we're kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know? So luckily the golf people had a close, but whatever, hanger. Used that. We got it. So trying to get up to the gig on time, and we're like, well, there's this campground here right by the bar, let's just go here. And so we roll in, and I talked to this lady on the phone already, so she knows we're coming. And we're like trying to find the spot, but it's like not labeled, like the number, and we're like, well, where the hell is this? So we're like, all right, let's just go back out, maybe we went to the wrong spot, let's just, you know, figure where we're going. And there's this guy that waves us down. He's like, you guys looking to camp? And we're like, yeah, we think, you know, whatever, spot 15. He's like, oh, yeah. Did you talk to Mama June? We're like, maybe? And I'm like, okay. And he's like, okay, you just got to talk to Mama June, and then she'll get you set up. So like, okay. So we go around the thing again, and we start to back the camper back in. And this lady just, like, shows up, like in her golf cart, kind of. It felt like Trailer Park Boys.
Exactly like that. She had this suspicious look on her face, like we were trying to start a meth lab in her campground. She's like, "What you doing here, boy?"
Yeah. So we're trying to like back this thing in, and she's just like staring at us for like awkwardly long amounts of time. We're like, don't know, like somebody should say something, you know? And she's like looking at this. She's like, I don't know what this is. And she's like looking at like some fungus. And then we're like, well, we don't really care. We're like, lady, like we just want to park our camper. We got to get to this gig in like 10 minutes, you know? We're like running out of time. Anyways, I don't really remember what happened with that, but I think we just gave her some cash and we, oh, maybe you should pick it up from here though. Because I think you remember this. We went into the restaurant.
Oh, there was just a lot of drama.
Is this all at the campground then? Or?
Yeah.
So there was the campground, the lake, and then a couple of bars, all within a really tight radius. We finally worked out the campsite. She had her husband and then a couple of different boyfriends kind of scattered around the campground that were all in competition to be her suitors. So we met several of them. Then we went to the bar, and once we got there, we found out from the bartender that June was not allowed in for, I think, starting riots in the past. So then she decided to come to the gig, and then there was a standoff between her and the bar owner at one point, and a shouting match, etc. It got pretty intense. That one subsided. Then when we actually played the gig, I think people stopped listening to us like 5 seconds into the show. Like we just started the first song, and people turned their heads. They're done. And there wasn't any big sports game or anything on the TV, so it's like, oh, it's going to be a long 3 hours of just practicing our material. That's pretty much, I feel like that's the entirety of the story.
And then the second we stopped, like, our set, they flipped on the jukebox and put on 50 Cent.
Oh, God.
Just started blasting it.
It was like that. Just wow. Like that.
No,
like,
not even transition or anything.
No, they were mad. No. We were like, what do we do? We're like, I feel like we're like halfway through this thing. I'm like, I feel like we should just... like, we should just cut our, you know, like, let's just all come to an agreement and say, you don't want us here.
Yeah.
We don't want to be here. Let's just
call. We'll go home. We'll call it a day. I've had a couple of those, I feel like, but that's been kind of, I think the music experience in general or coming into the scene the last few years has been really humbling because, first of all, I guess if you sound good around a campfire, you're miles away from sounding good on a stage. And there's just so many things you don't know. When you start, you know, it's trying to convince some bar patron at a dive bar to divert his attention from a slot machine to your melancholy acoustic originals is a fairly formidable task. So it's humbling in the sense that it takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort to get people to try to pay attention to your stuff. So it's a lot of hard work that goes into it, but it certainly pays off when you actually hit one of those venues where everything just jives really well and then people are invested in the experience and they want to hear your stuff.
Sure. That's good. And you guys are making great strides. You're awesome. Is there been a favorite venue so far that you've just been like, oh my gosh, this is great. Everyone's listening. You know,
it seems like the ones that we can like have a conversation with people there and we can talk and engage. Those are the venues, I guess, specifically off the top of my head. I can't really say like Z54 and McGinnis and
right. I'd say Z54. That's where I got to meet you guys.
Yeah.
That was through the dialogue as you were performing, actually. So yeah. That was pretty cool. What about our friend Steve Main, that show?
Oh yeah,
that was pretty. I mean, minimal, but I mean, it's still that was a good that's a listening show. You know, like people engage there. So
yeah,
he does
a really nice job at those house shows, just setting everything up. You know, accommodating the artists and making it a real intimate experience.
Absolutely.
So that was a lot of fun too. And Steve has been a tremendous help in kind of helping us get our name out there as well, right. As you have certainly too. Oh,
thanks. Yeah. Well, your talent stands alone right there. I mean, you're just really good. We want a lot of people to hear you. So again, that's why you're here today talking to me.
Did we say thanks for having us?
You can say that.
Yeah, we both did.
We did.
And then we debated if it was redundant because one of us would represent the entire band.
Okay. Sure. And then you can say it at the end again if you want.
Okay. I thought maybe right now would be a good time.
All right, let's talk about your music here. Both your sound and lyrics have, I think, such depth and distinction to them. So I want to know where this comes from. Where do you guys write your music? How do you guys write your music? Is this a collaborative effort? Do you work separate and come together? Kind of explain that through your eyes.
I think with the instrumental stuff, or I guess melodically, it's coming together because we both have ideas about it, but it doesn't really come to fruition or harden until we come together and we really just jam it out and write. But lyrically, I think we're kind of separate. You know, we go off and we do our own writing because you have your own emotional experiences that you want to convey. And then we come together and talk about how we can turn it into a song.
Sure. When you write it, do you hear a melody or anything at first, or is that something you guys work together to kind of build?
I guess when I write, I'll just be strumming something, or just messing around, and I'll, you know, all of a sudden if I hear something I like, then I'll just roll with it, and then I'll just kind of stream of consciousness sing, and if like I try not to think, I just, and if I can't, like if I don't have a word, I just make vowel sounds. And just go, you know, and then that way I can just keep it going. Cause then in a little bit, I might be able to think of something. And then I'll like tape that, you know, I try to get just like a real stream of consciousness. Then I go back through and then like I kind of said a word here. And then things just kind of start to fill in that still like felt with that emotion, I guess. And then it's like easier to find a word. Cause then, I don't know. It's easier for me to write the lyrics then.
Sure, yeah.
It's not as much like second guessing if it's like the right word or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I think we're similar in that it starts with the guitar or the piano trying to find a hook in a nice riff, melodic structure that comes together, and then the words come after and they seem to flow, I guess, over time, writing more and more songs, they flow naturally. So you write one verse, and then if you're looking for a rhyme scheme, something that fits, you can just, sometimes it almost hear it come out, and it, I mean, it's kind of neat that way.
Nice. Is there a song that you guys have so far that started one way and just completely changed in the process?
I feel like, funnily enough, The River Runs High, which on our first album, and just for context, our first album, Maze Avenue, we had all these ideas of songs we wanted to make, and I think we were happy with the product, but we realized the songs to get them, it's kind of a simple chord progression, no bridge, really, a repetitive verse, chorus. But now when we play it live, Isaiah was talking about some of his influence with Michael Flatley and the Riverdance. He's been incorporating a lot more of his style because he wrote the lyrics, so his guitar style is starting to catch up to his vocal style and songwriting, and it's kind of starting to harmonize a little bit better. So it's in a lot different place, I feel like, now than it was when we recorded it.
Sure. I'll just say that's, you guys know that's my favorite song of yours, and I've, even in the year that I've known you, I've seen the change in how that song is performed. Isaiah, do you want to elaborate a little bit more on the lyrics for our listeners on that song?
Funny thing is, I actually was just thinking about like scrapping those lyrics and starting over with it.
Really?
Yeah, I have a recording I did the other night in my bedroom, and I think that there could be something with like some like spoken word or like rap, okay, but not from me.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So that's where I'm at right now with that one.
Okay.
But,
I like the lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That's why I was hoping you could, of what you do have so far, can you explain that a little bit, like of your song?
Oh yeah. I guess like the meaning.
Yeah.
And I think that the meaning would kind of stay the same.
Okay.
But it's kind of just like, the river runs high, where it's like the water's rising. Eventually, you either need to fucking like figure it out, or you're gonna drown. Like, you know, it's just like you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, are you gonna do it or not? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like making decisions, sure, or moves, or
right.
You know, in a sense.
What drew you to write that song? Though, like, was there a moment or anything, or you just were watching a river and it just, the analogy came into play? Like, how did that kind of come?
My grandpa said something really creepy to me once when I was a kid.
Okay.
He told me that don't trust Russia, and then he said that the blood will rise to the chin of a horse.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
That's that Catholic.
Okay.
Catholic guilt. Yeah. It's very prescient though now with Russia and the Olympics and the, yeah, whole, what's Russia's team name?
Oh,
the ROC.
ROC, Russia Olympic Committee, I think.
It's interesting, which, yeah, in mathematical terms, it's the receiver operating curve. So,
oh,
they didn't know that. It's patent protected.
Nah.
Yeah.
A little education for the listeners.
Yeah. I like the theme of it though, because, well, I feel like when we did a lot of that songwriting, in the house that your family owned that they stripped out and they were completely renovating, the one that used to be a convent, it was kind of haunted, a little sad, kind of shallow in there, and the theme of it, at least the way you just described it to me, is you either sink or you swim. You got to make decisions, you got to move on with your life. And I mean, I was going through a divorce at the time, so it kind of hit with me too. It's like you either pick things up and move on and learn from your experience, or you're gonna drown. It's really that simple in life.
Right, right.
As I run and hide, the river gets high, and I see her cry, and I see her cry. And she asks me why I don't look her in the eye. No matter how I try, no matter how I try. Thank you.
my next question. I want you guys to talk about your first album, which is Maze Avenue. I know there's some significance to that title and the album cover art.
Yeah, so Maze Avenue, like we were talking about with The River Runs High, Isaiah's family, they bought this house that used to be a convent. It's actually the picture, I believe. So the album artwork, my sister-in-law, Nicole, she does some really good work. She painted a version of the actual picture of several nuns standing in front of the convent.
Okay.
So that's what the building used to be. And when they bought it, it was kind of in shambles, right? Was it a foreclosure at the time?
It was abandoned for 3 years.
Yeah.
With no electricity.
And with graffiti all over, random items kind of strewn about.
They just got up middle of the night. They left all their belongings.
And there was some weird belongings in there too. There was like knives
on like a little boy's bedstand. There was huge chains in the basement, like into the brick wall, where like they had their dogs in like this like cellar thing.
Ugh.
Yeah,
just some strange things.
Wow,
going
who
on.
Knows what went on right there? Huh?
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
But we did a lot of songwriting there because they had stripped everything out, so it was just this completely empty house. And I guess it was kind of inspirational because you could maybe you weren't fixated on, you know, you're not in a house where you can watch your TV. You can pick up a book. You can be distracted by any number of things. It's just kind of you and your thoughts with your instrument. So it helped us. I think it expedited the process of writing many of those songs. And I think, because I can remember pretty well the song Young Man, Isaiah had an idea. He would, you'd kind of hit the A minor chord really hard and then just let it ring out because it carried, it kind of reverberated through that house. And then you almost started with a spoken word sensibility in it, but I think it just slowly evolved over time. But I think we kept kind of the feel of how you initially conceived it, if that makes sense.
That's another favorite song of mine too, by the way. So, how about this, guys? Of the songs you have recorded so far, which stands out the most or is your favorite to perform?
I think favorite to perform for me is The Girl Downstairs. We've been doing kind of a version of it lately that seems to play well with audiences, where Isaiah will start with the spoken word from O Brother, Where Art Thou, the O Death song, because he sings it really well. And then we'll go into an instrumental introduction, and then segue into the actual song itself. But we've kind of found a nice, I guess, two-guitar harmony that we've been able to strike with a little bit of dissonance in it. And then a bridge that kind of leads the song out with a lot of intensity. So I think that one's been the most fun to perform for me.
Yeah, I would say Fire in the Hills is my favorite one. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was one too. We've been wanting to do a lot more spoken word stuff, but when you do it live, sometimes people are like, "Oh, this is really cool," and then other times people are like, these guys need to be locked up somewhere with padded walls because there's something going on in their brains that's not okay.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the spoken word thing can be really cool. It's a lot of times your venue, your situation that makes it hard to do some of that stuff,
right.
You know, that helps me. Let's get into this. I have to tell you, the listeners and you guys, not only is your music good to listen to recorded, but it's equally as impressive live. And that's not always the case with a lot of bands and artists. But your sound is so consistent and strong. I want listeners to hear you live. So where might they be able to catch you live in the near future? And I know where this is going to be, but I want the listeners to know. But this is going to be a great place where if you wanted to explore your music a little bit more, this would be a great time.
Oh, sure. So we'll be at Mile of Music next week.
Yeah.
That Ooh. One, we have two sets on Thursday night. So I believe we're at Bad Badger Sports Bar and then Mondo a little bit later, I think. 5:45 and like 7.
Right, and those two places
times.
Are not far apart, so if you like them at the first set, you just hop across the street.
That's true.
And you catch them at the second.
Exactly.
And you're going to want to. I'm just saying it.
Or if you hate us at the first set, you can follow us to the second one and heckle.
Sure.
You have enough time in between to go get rotten fruits and vegetables to toss us, so
right.
It kind of works out that way. But no, I think that's a busy weekend because we're playing the Lunchtime Live at Fratello's earlier in the day from 11:30 to 1 on that Thursday, August 5th. And then we're doing Bike to the Beat
So Thursday,
Saturday.
Thursday, you technically have three shows?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kind of, I guess, tightly packed.
Yeah.
But they're smaller sets.
Okay,
so
yeah.
My fingers won't be as punished as they are when you do 2-3-hour sets in a day.
Yeah.
And then Saturday we're doing Bike to the Beat, but I think we're out in Wrightstown for that one.
Oh, wow, that's way out there.
Yeah, I've never done that before, but it'll be a lot of fun. I guess I know we're supposed to play when bikers are coming up or crossing the area, so it'll be a lot of fun just to hang out there and watch people in the competition.
Absolutely. Wow. I didn't know it went out that far, to be honest, the Bike to the Beat thing. So.
Yeah, no, neither did I. Well, yeah, I don't. Do you know what the length is?
I don't. I honestly thought it was in town the whole time.
Oh, sure.
So I didn't know it went all the way out to Wrightstown. So yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, it's pretty exciting that you guys have Mile of Music coming up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been our goal from day one is to get to Mile of Music.
Sure.
Mine's for you to accept me.
Accept you as a human being?
Yeah.
You got a long ways to go for that, so yeah. Maybe start a little bit lower, less ambitious.
Yeah.
No, we don't know. You know, when we met you, I was blown away by how much you knew about almost every artist that goes to Mile and how carefully you study it. But the event itself, it's hard to explain to people that haven't been there before. It's just incredible.
Right.
It's amazing what they're able to put together in such a short window of time, how many acts, all original music, and how the venues just kind of all come together to collaborate and partner for it.
Right.
So, you know, we've always been fascinated by the energy coming out of that festival. So to be able to play it is definitely it's been a dream.
Sure. It's going to be great. I'm really glad to hear that you guys were able to get in, and I think you're going to really shine well there. Any favorite bands or artists that you remember from past years?
Yeah. The Lowest Pair.
Oh, who?
The Lowest Pair.
Okay.
Yeah, I ended up hanging out with them for a little while after their last set on a Sunday, and really, really nice people.
Okay, so actually, I don't know that one. So yeah. What type of music was that?
It's folk. They play banjos and guitar.
It's a real intimate.
Yeah. Oh, they're awesome. You should check them out.
I will, definitely. Are they here this year?
Not this year, but they are going to be... They're going through Wisconsin and Minnesota, I think, right around this time right now. So if you want to check them out, they're in the area.
Cool. Ryan, any artists stand out for you from previous years?
I'm always blown away by the talent locally. So I've been a fan of Kurt Gunn for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Every variation of his act Girl and the Gun, as the Poor Town Proper, the band that he has. I think he's got some incredible music, and he's a wonderful guitar player. I guess I tend to like the acts where there's, you know, it's a familiar instrument that I play, so it's cool to see people that have mastered it so well and then watch what they do and try to learn from them.
Sure.
Billy Bronsted, who's, you know, you,
absolutely,
you're up,
yeah,
in the Tomahawk area too, so you're familiar,
yeah,
with it. He's really good. He's going to be at this one as well. I didn't see Oralai until we were at that house concert last year at Steve Main's house
the
fall,
yeah,
but I'm looking forward to seeing them as well because I love their sound.
They're really good too.
It's really unique too. You know, you don't see, I feel like the cello with the electric guitar.
Yeah, I know. That's a good combination.
And then
actually,
he moves to the stand-up bass, kind of switches in and out between songs.
Right, yeah. Nice people too. Great music.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be great to catch again. Yeah. Very nice. Well, a lot of good acts coming. It's going to be a busy weekend. Getting back into the swing of things, it's been weird to think we've been, missed a whole year. But like I said, we met a year ago during what me and my crew were doing called Makeshift Mile. So you guys were performing during the Mile weekend, and it was part of our Mile experience. So technically, you're already Mile alumni in our eyes. So
that's a good point.
It's true.
So thanks for keeping performing through all that. I know it was a sticky situation, but you know, during the summer, especially when we could still be outside and stuff, it was great to catch live music. You know, and
mm-hmm,
and you guys really stood out. So I don't know if it had happened, you know, when we would have, you know, discovered you guys. So
right.
Yeah, that was a really fun show because I feel like it was pretty casual, and then you guys showed up, as you say, you and your crew. You just kind of raised the energy level about tenfold, and there was just this immediate audience participation, laughing at Isaiah's jokes, which is something so rare for him.
Yeah. I think I pissed myself when I got home.
Oh, yeah.
That funny, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, just I was so excited that somebody was laughing.
Well, good luck. You can try your jokes again this weekend, it's coming up at Mile if you want.
Yes.
Work on your stand-up. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just thinking about, it wasn't actually pee, I remember it was blood.
Oh,
okay.
It's a little more
Maybe
serious.
You should call your doctor.
Yeah.
Well, that was a year ago. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it hasn't persisted.
Yeah.
Now it just smells like ammonia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it was awesome to have you on the podcast. Is there anything regarding your music or your band that I didn't touch upon that you think listeners should know about, or anything that you're working on coming up that listeners should know about?
I think the main thing we're working on, we're trying to create a more representative sound of what we are live. So we're working on, and part of it, part of the practice for it is just playing a lot of live shows, putting together a live album. Mm-hmm. So, you know, audio and video of here's what you get, here's what you're going to see.
Sure.
So we can give people, you know, kind of that immediate feedback of if you're going to come see us, this is what you can expect. So that's kind of the next thing in the works for us right now.
Yeah. All right, cool. You know, actually, that reminds me quick before we go, the audio video perspective, you guys actually do have quite a bit of music videos for your songs, which are quite creative, you know. What's that been like making those videos? Who comes up with those ideas?
That's Isaiah.
Yeah, I just had an idea, and I just like, well, I'm just gonna roll with it. You know, I just wanted to put together something for the EP.
Sure.
Did one. I'm like, why don't I just do the whole thing?
Sure. And you did a video for the entire EP. What was the name of that EP?
Songs of Winter.
Songs of Winter. Yeah. So you can catch online YouTube, right? You have all the songs for that.
Yeah.
Was it about four or five songs?
Four songs. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a video for each song, which is cool. You can watch them all together.
Yeah.
One that's interesting is the one in the shower.
Yeah.
How'd that come about?
It's just kind of part of, like, you know, I'm just trying to share my experience and my journey, you know, and I've been living in that house, remodeling it, and it was like I had no hot water for a long time, and there were, you know, a few weeks without heat. So it's like 36 degrees in my house, and I'm going down in the basement in this, like, 1800s home, showering with cold water, and it just was like, it was the last cold shower I ever took in there, you know.
Okay.
So it was just kind of like, I just felt like it went with the theme of the song.
Sure. And what's the song that's for?
It's a cover of Fire and Rain.
Fire and Rain. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's the one cover on the EP. We tried to do it, I guess we tried to flip it on its head a little bit, because when you hear James Taylor sing it, he sings it in a major key, in a really happy voice, or not happy but optimistic, but then when you listen to the lyrics, it's actually a really sad song about loss and maybe exploring mental health a little bit. So we wanted to make it sound a little bit more like the emotional feel of the lyrics. So that's kind of what we were going for in the recording.
It definitely sounds great, and different tone to it. So, and I like it a lot. So yeah, videos are great too. So
thanks.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. Again, any final sentiments out there? Anything you want to share?
Well, I definitely want to say thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Beat me to it.
Yeah. You can say it too, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us.
Okay, good.
You're really going to say it again?
Yeah, well, I made them.
But to be honest, Drew, you've been a huge ally of ours, you know, over the last year since we met you. You've been a great friend. You know, obviously we appreciate you having on, but having us on the podcast, but just in general, it's been great knowing you this whole time and in the music scene. So we really appreciate all of the insight, all
sure.
the help you've given us over this time.
Absolutely. The feeling is mutual, and I wouldn't do this just for anybody. I really like you guys, you know, as friends, you know, so like you're talented, both personable, friendly, just great guys. So I want to see someone like you guys succeed in the music scene. And I think you can. So you are, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, until next time.
Yeah.
See you later.
Adios.
Adios.
right, there we go. How about them boys?
Aw, they're so cute.
I know, they're amazing. They're so different.
Yeah.
You know, from one another alone, you know, and yet they come together and make this wonderful music, and the fact that they've been friends for 20 years.
Yeah, I was impressed that they've known each other that long.
I know, we don't even have
that much, yeah,
on each other yet, you know? So that's a lot of life there.
Yeah.
A lot of secrets, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You and I can attest to that. Just right. What are we at, 15?
Right around there,
right around,
yeah.
That number. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's really cool. Interesting interview with those guys. I could talk to them more, you know?
Yeah.
Really dive in, especially with Isaiah there, you know? Yeah. There's got to be a little bit more behind the podcast wall, I think, if
yeah.
you will.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Maybe, like, stay tuned for episode 2 of Salmon Run.
Yeah, yeah. So I really appreciate them coming on here. They mentioned the Bike to the Beat thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really familiar with that. I thought it was a part of Mile. I'm not sure if Mile collaborates with the Bike to the Beat people. Community First is, I believe, the sponsor for that. I thought it was always right here directly in Appleton. It might have been prior years. But the premise of it is not necessarily a competition, but it's just people getting out on a certain bike route. And it looks like this year it runs from Green Bay through Wrightstown and maybe into Kaukauna, I want to say. And there's stages along the way with live music.
So it's like a non-competitive, like 5K, but
it's not even, there's not a measurement on that. It's just meant to be a leisurely ride where you can go out, do this set course and hear music and stop and listen to the music. You know?
Okay.
So I wanted to let Ryan know in a roundabout way that people aren't just going to be whizzing by, you know, as you play your music. Like, what was that? Did you hear something?
Yeah, people are coming. Play now.
Right. You're actually going to, I think people will stop and listen to your music, you know?
Okay.
So it's not a race.
Okay.
Know, so.
Yeah, maybe the artists are like mapped out so they have like destinations all along their way. Or,
right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. So, which sounds like a very cool concept.
Yeah, it does.
If I wasn't more honed in on downtown Appleton and that aspect of Mile of Music, I'd love to do that sometime.
Right.
So
yeah,
very cool. And there'll be a lot of other bands out there. So if you're interested, check it out. Go take a bike ride on a lovely Saturday day. Is that a thing? Just a lovely Saturday.
The day of Saturday.
The day of Saturday. I like it. The day of Sat.
Too far.
Whoopsie. Okay. Anywho, just check it out. It'll be a lovely day in Wisconsin. Any final sentiments for the listeners, for the summer, for the Mile of Music, for Salmon Run, any of it, all of it?
Oh, well, I definitely encourage them to go see Salmon Run because they're great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, check them out. Love them.
Mm-hmm.
Hug them. All the good things.
Talk to them. They're really great guys. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't stalk them. Don't be creepy.
I already did that.
Yep.
Don't worry.
Drew's got that down
for
everybody.
I got that covered. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, enjoy the summer. You know, we don't get much of it.
No, it's a beautiful one.
Mm-hmm.
A very beautiful weather, long. I feel like it's going to be a great long,
warm
summer for us to really indulge in our things that we do in the summer. I can't think of a better, fancier word. Where's Ryan when I need him? He's got the great words. Did you notice that in the podcast?
Yeah,
you
know? I did. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just feel like I need to beef up my vocabulary around him a little bit.
That's a daily occurrence for me.
And I thought mine was pretty good. And then you talk to Ryan and you're like, those are big words, man. All in one sentence. Like, it makes sense. It works well, you know, but I got to work on mine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get that toilet paper of the day stuff, you know, word of the day on there. You know, my biggest word that I use the most is flummoxed.
Flummoxed.
Yeah. I always like using that one.
Mine's kind of old now. It's kerfuffle.
Oh, that's always a fun one, though.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Words. Okay. Let's leave everyone on a note of music.
Go see the music. We can see the music now. Let's go do it.
Catch up for
last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Play catch up. Support the artist. Be there. Yeah. Remember to listen. Listen to the music, too. It's very important. These words are amazing. Salmon Run, all the bands, they write some really amazing
They put all the effort to, you know, create and collaborate and perform and come out of their comfort zone, you know.
Right.
Go out of yours and listen to others.
Listen. Mm-hmm. We need to do just more of that generally in the world, listening.
Yeah.
You know, we always talk over each other, for the love of Pete.
Yeah.
I can go way deep, and I need to wrap this podcast up. So bring this baby back in. Do you see that shuttle coming back from space? The shuttlecock?
That's the thing. That's like in Batman. That's what they call it, right? The shuttlecock?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what they call it. The birdie.
Okay.
The formal name of it is shuttlecock.
Cock.
You got to enunciate the cock. Way to go. I should have ended this way before I said shuttlecock.
We'll circle back to cocks.
Don't say it like that. All right, guys. All right, we'll leave you alone. We'll let you be. Sorry if that was a little too much. But thanks for listening to the podcast. Stay tuned. Hopefully we have more episodes down the road. We've been on a bit of a hiatus, but we're looking forward to season 6 as it approaches. So take care. Smooches.
Toodles.
Anywho, the beginning of our story with the Salmon Run was actually a year ago, and pull it together.
Astronauting, you just got me with astronauting. What is there, a big giveaway that I've not got all things together here?
I should not have looked at you.
The huge grin.
I should have just looked away. I mean, I could. I almost got to the end of this little tidge of conversation, and I had to look at you. I'm not going to look at you
pretty
anymore.
Soon people are going to walk by and see this, like, wall between us. It'll be like a real studio.
Okay.
Where were we?
That was an outtake. That helps me. Let's get into this. Right. And I think that whole thing just comes together so well, and that message and your delivery of it is just amazing, you know? So if you want to change it, that's great, but I don't think you need to.
Yeah, all right.
But it's your song, it's your creative process, you know?
So, yeah, and you can have more than one version.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any final regrets?
I regret you right now.
Oh, God. Blooper.
I know, I felt a little rusty until we had our warm-up.
Yeah, we did our vocal warm-ups, mm-hmm. you can say, you know.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, uh-huh. Didn't sound quite that good. You know, more foreign. You know,
hi, hi, ha, 3-digit code.
More for the blooper reel.